Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin' on Lending, coming to you Monday, November 29th. Again, we state that because many of you do download this and listen to this on your computers after the fact, and we encourage you to do so and pass it around to as many people in the industry. Today, I tell you, we have got an important discussion, and it's one of the hottest debated topics in the industry. It has to do with LO compensation, and we have a whole bunch of listeners across the country dialed in trying to figure this out, and we're going to get into that in just a little while. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you to head out to Lickin' on Lending, that's Lykken on lending.com, and register for weekly updates, weekly emails that'll provide an update of upcoming programs, as well as take a look at all the other very cool things that are up there and available to you on the website at housingmatrix.com. We appreciate them hosting this program and their partnership with us. But without further ado, let's get into talking about what is going on in the world of interest rates. Joe Farr?
Hey, Dave.
Good to have you with us.
You know, not quite as volatile today as what we've talked about in the past Mondays, but we have been up and down so far this. No economic news coming out. We're sitting at 7/32 above where we ended the day Friday, but we're below the highs for the day and above where some people might have priced. So it's kind of a little bit of an odd day. A little bit of a flight to quality occurred as the European debt issues continue. Ireland now, Portugal and Spain are on the radar screen to follow. So we'll keep up with that a bit. But, so far, good way to start the week. Last week, we did have a big drop in prices, meaning mortgage MBS prices went down, mortgage rates went up. Some of that was simply a large reaction in a thin market to some things. Wednesday, for instance, we saw a 27/32 drop in prices. It was the same day the stocks rallied big, and that hurt MBS markets. Then the demand for the 7-year treasury that was auctioned that day didn't go well. Demand was weak, and foreign investors didn't have a great deal of an appetite for the auction, so that spilled over into the MBS markets as well. So we saw a big drop on Wednesday. Short week, no Thursday, half a day Friday. The economic reports that came out during the week were pretty mixed. Third quarter GDP rose a little higher than what it had been measured at, but durable orders for October were substantially below forecast. New and existing home sales were a little less than expected, which is kind of hard to believe because expectations were low. But jobless claims were better than expected. Consumer sentiment was better than expected. So, that big drop could be attributed primarily to the weak Treasury auctions and early in the week the Korea issue kind of sparked a rush to quality, and then it reversed itself. That rush happened on Tuesday and reversed itself a little bit on first part of Wednesday. And then it really fell.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how we have now foreign governments' actions, what's going on in Korea, looking at the economic instability that's going on in Europe, all driving into these mortgage prices, which just creates more of that volatility. What do you see coming up this week as we have some data being released? What's on the calendar?
Jobs report. Always the biggest thing of the month. Jobs report comes out on Friday at 8:30 Eastern time. Current consensus is for a gain in jobs of about 150,000, which would make it just like last month. ADP will give us a little bit of a preview of that. Of course, that's never been a very good barometer of the actual jobs report. ADP comes out on Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure which. Wednesday, I think. But, we have manufacturing activities tomorrow and Wednesday, Chicago PMI tomorrow at 9:45, and the ISM index Wednesday at 10 o'clock. People will continue to see how things work themselves out over the European debt issues. And, the fear is that what started in Greece, Ireland will spread. Portugal and Spain are the ones identified on the radar as additional concerns. So we'll watch that. And then, we got the war games going on over off the coast of the Koreas, and we'll see what happens with that. That too could
with
create
missiles
a...
missiles flying, yeah. No
yeah, yeah. Well, let's hope they don't.
Yeah.
So that's it, Dave.
Well, we appreciate it, Joe, each and every week. Yeah, it was really interesting, the volatility for it being a short week last week. I just found that really, really interesting. Thank you so much for bringing it all in perspective and focus as you do each and every week. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about LO compensation. What are people doing about it out there? We're going to be talking about a big hot topic today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' Not Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, we're going to be talking about LO compensation. Stay tuned all the way through this and the next couple of segments, because I know we are all dying to find out what's going on. And sometimes I feel like we're dying, but let's talk where it all started with all Alice Alvey. Like one person wrote me, Alice said, well, if Alice wasn't putting so much focus on it, would this all happened? I go, I kind of think she reports what's happening. She's not absolutely accelerating it. But boy, Alice, there's so much going on in the legislative update, the traffic report. What is going on out there now?
Oh, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I don't think I'm a Washington influencer, that's for sure. There's a lot more going on over there than I could have any influence over. But anyway, so our update for today, wanting to give you just a recap of some of the House bills that we're watching. You know, Congress is just going back in session after their recess over the holiday. They aren't usually in session that much during December, but it does look like the schedule will be set here shortly. We'll get an idea for what they're going to talk about in probably a good 3 weeks. So they'll be working trying to resolve some budget issues, I think, over the next month. But generally what we're watching is H.R. 3218. This is the Housing Opportunity and Mortgage Equity Act. We talked about this a few shows ago, where it really is a bill trying to mandate Fannie and Freddie to refinance the borrowers who are paying on time, right? Those of us who are paying our mortgages on time, we're all going, okay, where's my benefit here for being a good mortgage payer? I don't agree with the provisions of the bill that would basically force the industry into this. It has some pretty egregious underwriting waivers in it, but it is gaining some steam. It's up to 33 sponsors. Still not, so many that it's going to absolutely get legs here in December, but we're definitely watching that for you. So that was H.R. 3218. We are also watching FHA's Shared Equity Pilot Program. This is H.R. 6256. This was introduced in September. The comment period is still open. It doesn't have any co-sponsors right now. It sounds just like it would, like the title is that FHA trying to roll out a program for potentially sharing equity from private investors and refinances, homeowners would have to have a 60% loan to value, but you would be able to have other investors, so to speak, in sharing the equity in the home. It's just going to be a short list of companies that are going to be selected for that pilot program. Now, we all are all watching also another FHA proposal, the FHA Power Saver Retrofit Home Program. This
wow.
is actually published in the Federal Register. I'm going to give you a number here that if you're a company that does 203K loans well and you are Title I FHA approved, meaning you can do the consumer home, the consumer bank lending program, yeah, from the home improvement, from the Title I, FHA is going to select a few lenders, and this is basically a proposal out there saying, hey, does your company want to be a part of this pilot program? It's in the Federal Register. It's FR 5450N01. So I'm going to repeat that.
N is the Nancy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. FR 5450N01. You could probably also search FHA Power Saver Home Energy Retrofit. So that's the program that's out there for money for home improvement for customers. There's quite a lot of money out there these days for that program, so those of you eligible may want to try for that. Your implementation alerts coming up. Comment period is closing November 23rd for Reg Z for the new look to the Truth in Lending form. We also want you to watch for HUD's request from the industry on changes to warehouse lending. Take a look at all of FHA's questions about warehouse lending and form your opinion. Are they asking this to change the definitions under RESPA for what defines a warehouse line? So if I keep my money in a warehouse line for a day, does that count? Am I still exempt under RESPA? Am I still a lender by definition? So, or is FHA HUD trying to start up warehouse lending? You take a look for yourself. It's HUD's request for changes to on warehouse lending information. That's a notice that they published in the Federal Register. Last but not least, FHA changes to the lender insurance program. This is a proposed rule, and comments are due next week, December 7th. So make sure you take a look at the impact it would have on you if FHA changed their lender insurance program to expand the audit requirements and change compare ratio requirements. So check that out as well. Comments are due December 7th. So, Dave, that's my update for today.
My, oh, my. There's certainly, and what is the Power Saver Retro Home Improvement Program? That's going to be my latest practice. That in front of the mirror first thing in the morning before two cups of coffee. My goodness. Hey, well, Danny has really got some interest, though, because we have not seen a lot on the Title I programs, and that'd be interesting if they're not going to try to find a way to resurrect and getting some of that going. There's several people talking about it, and the ones that are doing the Title I programs, that still only one or two banks seem to be buying that. It's a great product. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Alice, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It is.
This,
I think a lot of people do look at the repair side of homes and being able to finance repairs as a niche in the market going forward.
Well, it certainly has been a niche. It's possible with home buyers. I mean, with Joe reported on home sales not growing, in fact, contracting. And if, in fact, we see this, we may see people looking to home improvement programs. So, folks, listeners, those of you out in the industry, plug that in there as a note. Is it time to start focusing on some home improvement programs? Are we going to see some of that come back? Remember, our industry is cyclical, and we might be seeing some of these programs coming back in a way we didn't anticipate. Alice, thank you so much. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Welcome back. I'm looking over our switchboard. We have got people dialed in literally from all over the nation. and I'm sure all of you are dialing in to listen to the Profit Doctor give his information of how you can be more profitable. But before we go there, I'm going to just talk behind Andy's back. Hopefully he's not listening. I know he is. But the Profit Doctor is going to be flying to Las Vegas this week to be speaking in front of, Andy, you may have to get into this a little bit, but all of the CPAs that do any auditing related to mortgage banking, and he's training a number of them on how to audit. Folks, this is not just some CPA that has some knowledge of mortgage banking. This is a leader you're hearing from today and each and every week on the Profit Doctor segment. Andy, it's an honor to be affiliated, associated with you. Profit Doctor, what do you have for us today?
Well, thanks, Dave. I got to be sure and remember to pack for my Las Vegas trip. You know, what do you do when you're going to Las Vegas in December? Is it shorts? Is it T-shirts? Is it, you know, long pants? What's the weather going to be like?
Whatever you do, pack your speech.
Well, you know, Dave, it's great to have my voice back. I appreciate you covering the Profit Doctor segment for me last week.
We tried.
Well, you did a great job, you and Joe and Alice. I really appreciate that. It's great to have my voice back. I think my kids kind of took advantage of me because last week I hear them, they go, okay, Dad, see ya. And normally I'd go, where are you going? When are you coming back? Who are you going to be with? What are you going to be doing? Blah, blah, blah. All the dad questions. And all they do is say, hey, Dad, see ya. Slam.
Yep.
I couldn't say anything. What am I going to do?
Yeah, Dad, don't just if you're fine with this, just don't say anything. That's a great
exactly.
If you're fine with this, just don't say anything. And you couldn't say anything, so it's obviously you're fine. So, anyway,
exactly.
What's the Profit Doctor got for some doctoring tips to help the bottom line, Mr. Andy?
Well, today is going to continue on about technology. You guys started talking about it last week.
And we did.
And, you know, despite what Ted Kaczynski, you know, the Unabomber, says about technology, technology
okay.
really is our friend. Technology
is
so important. You know, we could rev our
cars. I get the biggest chuckle how you tie different themes into it. Okay, so the Unabomber. Okay, we're at the Unabomber.
Yes, the Unabomber. Which, who's in jail now? Good thing. So, you know, think about technology. I know, Dave, you built a technology system years ago. And when I started in the business, we typed applications and we printed loan docs on a typewriter. And so I wrote an application back in 1979 to print loan docs on a printer, an early LOS. I know you created an LOS that went on to be much bigger than mine. But, you know, we use technology. Technology is very, very important. And back then, doing spreadsheets, then we went to VisiCalc and Lotus and now Excel. So the important point here is technology creates tools that we need to use to run our business. Very, very, and very important tools to run our business, and they can give us the right answer. They can give us really important information. And we also need to be careful because they could give us the wrong answer. You know, just think, what would happen if one of your LOS calculations did an APR wrong? You know, that would be bad. So we put a lot of automatic reliance on these big technology companies to do it right, and for the most part, they do it right, but do we ever stop and check? Do we ever go back and have somebody manually calculate an APR? Does anybody even know how to manually calculate an APR to make certain that the disclosures are right? So that was kind of a rabbit trail anyway. But the point I wanted to talk about is that when we run our business, there's a lot of things that are important on the financial side about running our business. We look at our cash. We look at our pipeline. We look at our profit. And of all these things, I think the most important is profit, because you can have a pipeline and lose money. You can have cash and none of it be yours and not have money to pay payroll. You got to have profit. Profit drives payroll. Profit drives cash. So you got to have profit. So most important thing is profit. Now, when we look at profit, what kind of profit are we talking about? You know, we look at the bottom line and say, okay, great, we made money this week or this month or this year, but we got to go deeper. What about the components of profit? What elements of our business drive profit? And so we look at profit per loan, and we look at profit per branch. And for this LO conversation that we're having today, I think it's really important that we know what's our profit per originator. How much did we make on each originator? I think for most mortgage bankers, you ask them the question, how much profit do you make for each originator? They'll be able to tell you what the production was by each originator. They can say how much money loans were closed by each person over a certain month. But that doesn't really tell you the profit because margins could be different and concessions could be different and lock extensions, all this stuff goes into it. So you really got to know your profit per loan. And you know, with the new LO compensation coming in, people seem to be guessing about how much they're going to pay. Well, if you know the formula to calculate what your profit per loan is, then you can use technology to get you that answer so that when you're talking about new LO compensation, you can look at what the new rules are for the structure, you apply that structure, and then you'll know what your new profit's going to be because you know what your profit per loan is. You don't have to guess.
So, I think it's so important when you – I think you come to this point, especially with the next segment we're going to be going into is LO compensation, that everyone not only just think about what they're going to do, but how is this going to drive – to the bottom line. What is the impact of the bottom line? Great point, Prophet Doctor.
It has to be. It has to be bottom line driven. You have to comply with the rules, but you've got to know, what's this going to do to my business? Am I going to continue to have more volume, less volume? Am I still going to make money on each loan? And unfortunately, a lot of folks don't know their bottom line per loan. All of our bookkeeping clients do because we produce a report that shows profit by originator. And people got to get that. The technology is there to give people profit per loan, and everybody should have it. Going forward, every mortgage company in 2011 should be able to know their profit per loan, not volume, but all-in profit per loan. And as we look at 2011, one of the things we need to also think about is what's it going to look like? Where are we going to go? I know you're going to have a show later on, Dave, on kind of what the new year looks like. But for accountants, it's time to start doing some year-end planning. We're in December. We got to make sure we got 1098s captured for all of the activities through the year. Any payment that we received as a mortgage bank is a 1098 event that we've got to send a 1098 out to the customers. So we got to start planning. We got to look at our growth for next year. Are we going to add branches? Are we going to have cash? We need our forecasting model, again, using technology. Got to have our forecasting model in place to be able to get us the right answers. Now, this is the tricky part. Just like checking the APR calculation that your system generates, just because a number looks cool on a spreadsheet doesn't mean the numbers on the spreadsheet are right. It's important to make certain that somebody built a spreadsheet that knows what they're doing so that the answers you're getting make sense and are right. Now, just so happens, of course, on our model, it's been tested by Wall Street, so we know what's right. But use technology to help you predict your future. Look at the volume. Look at how you're going to pay LOs. And figure out what you're going to make next year, and then start planning for next year already. It's time. Pull out your spreadsheets. Go forward with this. You know, the future in mortgage banking is amazing, Dave. It's now is one of the best times to be getting into or expanding in the business. I know Joe mentioned just a minute ago about that the Korean issues are a little bit concerning to the markets. And, you know, quick side note, Dave. The North Korea thing's a little bit scary, but we got that covered because the worst case is they shoot something at us. But you know what? My company built intercontinental ballistic missile silos in Alaska that are interceptor missiles for the National Defense Shield. And those things, if North Korea ever got crazy and launched something at Washington, those missiles go up into outer space and blow up the inbound rocket from North Korea before it even gets close to the United States up out in outer space. Now, is that technology? Is that amazing technology? We can blow up a rocket in outer space if someone shoots it at us. That's the National Defense Shield. And yet, in mortgage companies, that same technology is available to help us run our business, and yet we don't use it to its full extent. We really need to take the tools that are available to us, plan our business, know how much cash we're going to have at the end of the month, predict cash forward 3 months, know what your cost per loan is, know what your profit per loan is. There's no reason in today's world with today's technology why every single mortgage banker in the country should not immediately right now today be able to tell me their profit per loan by originator. So that's it. Yeah, that's the profit doctor.
And I think it's so important as we drive into this next discussion talking about LO compensation is not only get a good plan, but build a model. Build that financial model. Planning for 2011. It's just hard to believe we're already there. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be getting into the discussion about LO compensation in just a brief moment right after this word.
It's time for the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Delmar DataTrack.
Bloomberg ran a really interesting post last week by John Hagel III and John Seely Brown called, "Do You Have Growth Mindset?" In it, they explain the difference between a fixed mindset, where your ideas are set in stone, and a growth mindset, where you focus on the things you can cultivate and grow. They then go on to highlight how your current mindset can impact your talent management, relationship building, and business ecosystem. Although this article isn't mortgage specific, because I've noticed that the vast majority of my clients are growing rapidly these days, I thought it would be a good piece to share. You can find this posting called "Do You Have a Growth Mindset?" at Bloomberg.com. Then, Christine Ricciardi from HousingWire posted a story about how, according to Fannie Mae, half of homeowners who are delinquent on their mortgage would rather rent than buy a home. This is the first time the rental preference has exceeded the buying percentage. The reason I wanted to point out this story to you all is to make sure you're thinking about how best to target investment borrowers. If the market demand is shifting towards people wanting to rent, there will certainly be a group of people that want to own the homes that are being rented, and you should be thinking about how to be tapped into that market space now. You can read the details around Fannie's stats in the story called "Delinquent Buyers Would Rather Rent" at HousingWire.com. Those were the stories that caught my attention this past week for the Mortgage Minute. This is Rob Katz with DMD, and I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
This has been the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar DataTrack. Catch Rob's news of the week right here on the Lincoln on Lending Show or online at DMDinc.com. Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending, and we're getting into a discussion next that has got everybody's attention. It's loan originator compensation changes that are coming that are effective and have to be in place April 1st. And you know what, folks? There's been a whole lot said. There's more being said than being done at this point because everyone's trying to figure it out. There's webinars out there. Every single week we're hearing of a new webinar, a new seminar on how to respond to this. And it's because, folks, there's a need. When you see this much activity around a need, it is because there's so much confusion, and we're seeing that. I'm going to make a couple mentions of this, but I want to bring each one of you to your attention, to each listener, the fact that there's a LinkedIn discussion group that is ongoing that I started a week ago. I've started different discussion groups related to issues going on within the industry, but this one, when I hit the submit button, I had over 100 members that joined almost within minutes. I've never seen a response to a discussion group. So for those of you that are using LinkedIn and staying on top and staying connected with your network, go ahead and get connected with me. You'll see it as David Licken, and then connect with me, and then I will make sure you get an invite. Or, you know, matter of fact, you don't have to be connected with me. You can just go ahead and request to become a member of the Loan Originator Compensation Changes and New Rules group. That's what it is again. It's Loan Originator Compensation Changes and New Rules. That's the name of the discussion group. Write it down and join it. And we welcome your feedback, what you're hearing out there. Again, we created this discussion group to be able to bring to one central repository all the discussion, the things that are being heard. So if you want to join, we'd be thrilled and honored to have your comments added to the mix. It is now already grown up to 366 members, and that is just astounding. Never seen anything else like it. Let's bring our panelists on to this discussion, and I'm going to welcome again Alice Alvey, we have Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, and we have Joe Farr. We have thought about bringing in different guests on this topic, but a number of you listeners have said, you know what, we really, really appreciate is just listening to you guys talk about these hot issues. We're going to start off and we're going to discuss three basic aspects of what the whole LO compensation changes that are coming. We're going to talk about the facts, the fears, and what What is being planned? What do we know that is being planned? Again, there's more being said than done, but we're going to talk about what is being done, what we're hearing about. But let's start off with the facts. Alice Alvey, thank you so much. Like one person said, boy, Alice, if she didn't talk about all this stuff, it wouldn't be all happening. I agree with your statement. No, you're not driving it. You're reporting it. And it is so important that we have an understanding of the facts. So, Alice, let's start off with the facts.
Well, I guess the first fact is that we're talking about Regulation Z and not Dodd-Frank, right? Dodd-Frank did pass, but we're not going to know about the Dodd-Frank interpretation until mid-next year once the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau gets put in place. So just
underscore that one right there,
yes.
Alice? For our listeners, there's so many posts that are up here on this blog. And there's so many emails floating around, and over half of them have some type of reference to Dodd-Frank. It is so important that you understand, listeners, that this is being driven by the April 1st deadline. April 1st, 2011, is being driven by the Federal Reserve ruling on Reg Z, the final ruling. Okay, Al, sorry, I just want to punctuate that.
No, it's an important one because I'm with you. So many people keep referencing the other bill, and we keep wanting to say, no, let's just focus on Reg Z. Now, we understand that they're fundamentally very similar, but I think it changes your perception if you're thinking about I'm dealing with a rules-based piece, and therefore the interpretation and descriptions are published as they are. We won't know a lot more until we start seeing some enforcement of this. It applies to both first and second liens, 1-4 family properties, regardless of occupancy. It does exclude HELOCs. An originator cannot be paid based on the interest rate or terms and conditions of the loan. So if we just focus on the can and cannots of the compensation piece, so the Reg Z has two parts to it, essentially. There's the loan officer compensation restriction, and there is an anti-steering provision that also gets kind of looped into the conversation there as we're trying to balance all this. So as we kind of walk through our set of rules, if we were to try and simplify this, an originator's can be paid based on the loan amount as long as it's a fixed percentage of the loan amount. You're allowed to set a minimum or a maximum. Those amounts can vary by originator based on performance or units, but it cannot be based on the terms and conditions of the loan. Originators can be paid commission and bonus. Compensation can be adjusted periodically based on market conditions. Any financial incentive given to the originator is considered compensation, including prizes. So there's one little set of rules I think everybody needs to be aware of. Just a few more. LOs can be paid hourly based on actual time spent. So anyone who wants to come up with an hourly rate, if you're concerned that my loan officer is working a lot on just a few loans, if they have a lot of hard transactions, tough credit histories and so forth, you can go that route. They can be paid on long-term performance of the loans. You can compensate with a fixed amount and account for overhead costs if you want to deduct those, to Andy's point of know your cost per loan. You can be paid based on units. They can be paid on a geographic region as long as a lender, you have evidence to support there are additional overhead costs associated with that region. You cannot reduce the loan officer's compensation if the rate reduces during processing. So, again, just a reminder that their compensation cannot be tied to the direct rate or indirect rate or profitability of that loan. So I guess I'll start with that. And
That's really good from there. Yeah, it's good that we go into that. And Andy, Shell, let's bring you into the discussion because you were talking about the importance of modeling this out, having a good financial model in this. And I think you've sat on that. You and Joe, both of you, sat on one of the more high profile webinars this last week. When you listened to that webinar, Andy, and then I want to get Joe's input on it. What was your walk away from that? When you walked and hung up that call, what was the overriding opinion or impression that you had from that webinar?
Well, I think the most important point is to have a plan. The rules are the rules. Alice just outlined the ways that you can pay someone. So you have a compensation plan you have in place today, and you know that there's elements of that compensation plan, like splits on overage, that have to go away. So we know they have to go away, so everything about how you do it today needs to change so it follows the rules that Alice just outlined. So what's the path to get there? You got to model it out and understand what your costs are currently and your profit is currently, like I always talk about. And then, you know, based on these variables, what pieces can fit together to approximately equate what the originators made before, so they still are making about what they were making before, and the mortgage company was still making about what they were making before, and then repaper it all, redocument everything so that it now is consistent with the new Federal Reserve guidelines. And, you know, it's actually very, very straightforward. There's some uncertainties because you don't know what your overages are going to be, but you can make some assumptions about what they've been in the past. And you can look at volumes and paychecks that originators have gotten in the past and figure out which of these variables drive. So you build an Excel file that have a number of these available payment methods in it, and you start coming up with structures that get you where it best fits the structure for your company. I mean, it sounds
Absolutely.
Easy, and we can do it for people, but that's what you got to do.
Well, I think a lot of people have been saying, you know, I understand I need to have a financial plan, but I know my model. I know my business. Well, those rules are changing, some of those rules. But here's one of the fears. I want to get this to Joe. Joe, you and I have both been hearing the fears. That means loan officers can't make money in this business. That's false. That's flat out a fear that's unfounded and is false. Joe, what was the walkaway that you had from the webinars and the studies that you've been conducting on this topic?
Well, there are lots of ways to get to the answer. You know, the rules are not crystal clear, and therefore they're going to be interpreted, and that's a positive because you can interpret those rules in such a way as to accomplish what you need to do. As we talked about earlier, there are people who have said, I need to take care of my originators, especially the best of my originators. You know, very easy ways to do that and stay within the rules. And in that, in the webinar, it was clear that there were many diverging ways of accomplishing what you needed to accomplish. The bottom line is fairly simple in that you just cannot get paid more or less based on the terms of the loan. And in a retail environment, that kind of means no more priced-in overage, but that doesn't mean that your compensation shouldn't be based on the average of your prior overage.
Exactly right. I mean, I think that the most important part is this is not a death knell to loan originators making a very good living in the mortgage industry. It's just how we're going to go about to compensate them and the rules. We have a client that's here in Texas, a very large client, very successful client, that has been very successful in getting top producers to join his organization. He says, I'm not the least bit worried about it. I know that I'm able to take care of my people, and I am going to find a way to manage this, work through this, and be compliant with everything that's being talked about, Alice, and do so in a way that will allow my top producers to remain top producers and make a good living. This is something that we're hearing about, and I know you speak to a lot of people, Alice, as we're across the country. Address some of the fears that are out there. The number one is this is lights out for LOs. Let's kind of cover that. There are ways they can make good money.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, Joe has talked about it too, the idea of look at what you were making, what they were making front end and back end, and come up with what is a reasonable basis point, of course, taking in the profit per loan that they've generated, and say, being able to set yourself up to manage that properly for them going forward. And then one of the more popular, I don't know if I should use the word popular, but one of the plans that's getting talked about is that idea of then adjusting the compensation on a quarterly or whatever regular basis fits for your company to then take a look back. Was that correct? Did they meet their goals and objectives? You know, setting some HR standards for them to follow, and then making any adjustments necessary for the next quarter.
Well, I think one of the things I want to get into is addressing some of the fears. You
oh, I'm sorry.
Done a
yep,
great...
I jumped to plan.
No, sorry about that. Well, no, that was the plan. I want to get to the plan. We're going to be talking about the plan. But one of the plan. But no, you did perfect in response. That's what I'd hope to get from in that question. But here's the deal. The fear is that I am going to be losing control of my ability to make money. No, you are not going to be able to view the way you made money just based on tied to loan volume or to a price or an interest rate. You cannot. You can do it on volume, if I heard you correctly, but you can't do it when it's tied to a compensation. So, listeners, I know there are a lot of you are out there and are going, can I even stay in this industry? Yes, you can. And if your company is struggling, and I'm talking to the originators in our audience, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them across there today. I'm talking to you. If your company is struggling with it, get them in this blog that we're Alice, Joe, and Andy and I, and we got Glenn Corso, who has been a big part of our program in the past, who's we talk to regularly on this topic. Other attorneys that are offering these seminars have joined this blog. So it's going to be a great place for you to find out what's going on and get your company hearing, exploring all the ideas. The biggest mistake any of us are going to make is operate in a vacuum. If you think you're going to figure this out, business owner, and do it in a vacuum, you're probably going to miss it, not because you are out there trying to do something, but there will be a lot of aspects about this. I want to get into some of the things they can do. When you, in your opening comments, Alice, you talked about units and performance. One of the other things you talked about is being able to be paid in some type of an hourly basis or some type of salary basis based on previous, quote-unquote, performance, which in the world of lending, in the world of being a loan officer, it has to do with volume.
Yeah, and you absolutely can be paid based on your volume. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of motivation out there to just keep it simple. I think that's another thing. The fear for some companies is I'm concerned about the complications or some of the small little nuances within the law. So if you design a very basic compensation plan and then measure it on a quarterly basis and actually test it, you know, a lot of things, too, companies are doing now is testing back what if I had this plan in place, what would it have looked like over the last, 6 months to a year?
Yeah, I think you can do that if you get a good financial model, and that's the beautiful thing about Excel. Joe, you've done a lot of financial modeling. Andy talks about it all the time. But let's talk a little bit about some of the fears that you've heard about, and let's dispel more of those fears so our listeners can just get moving forward. I think one of the things that Alice said, Joe, that I think is so significant is keeping it simple. This does not have to be a complicated formula for a lot of our listeners out there. There is a simple solution here. Yeah, there's more than one solution.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I think there'll be some people that go to a very complicated end to achieve all that they want to achieve, including measuring, performance over a long period of time. And a lot of people in the blog have talked about expanding payments over a period of time. I, for one, think that it's easier, and obviously easier, and not all that wrong to kind of just make what we're doing now less dependent on loan terms, without being dependent on loan terms, and create a percentage that's based on the loan amount, the size of the loan. And the fear there that I'm hearing is that, they don't want to lock in something that's not approved. For instance, if you say, I've been paying you 50 basis points plus half overage, and you've averaged quarter half an overage, so you're paying 5/8 of a percent in regular commission, just fix that. And if that results in a poor economic performance after you've fixed it at 5/8, adjust it at the end of the next quarter back down to a half. The fear is that you're not going to generate the profits. Well, minimize the opportunity for that to be the case by adjusting over a shorter period of time.
The key thing that we want to get to is that we've got to clearly focus in on the second component that Alice talked about is anti-steering, which is really what the two go hand in hand. But we've got to stay away from anything that resembles that you or your company are steering consumers into a product that is not favorable to or perceived as not favorable to them. It may be a product that's the only thing they can get. Well, design your compensation accordingly around that. Before we go into the anti-steering components of this, Alice, I want to go back to Andy. Andy, Joe just talked about, and Alice talked about going back and back mapping this thing, going back and looking backwards out the rearview mirror and setting up and some models so they can test it. So back testing is the – I said back mapping. Back testing the idea. How is this done?
Well, it's actually – if you have the information handy, it's very easy. It's straightforward. You look at the volume and profit per originator in the past and based on how much they've been paid and what their volume was, and – it's simple math. The math is very straightforward. So, but what if you don't have the information handy? What if you haven't been calculating your profit per loan, but you do know your commission payments by originator in the past. Your payroll is going to have the amount of the commission that was paid, and they're also going to have some basis for that commission calculation. So most mortgage banks have very complicated, extensive compensation structures. So the good thing about this is it's going to get simplified. But to have your payroll department, your commission calculation group, go back in and look at the volume, tie it back to volume, look at volume and look at the amount of gross payment that was paid to that originator based on that volume, and that'll give you an idea about where they've been in the past, and then just build a new structure under the current rules that get you to approximately the same place. And I very much agree with what Joe just said. You need to be able to tweak it regularly, because at first it's going to be, you know, are we sure this is how it's going to work? Is this exactly what we were expecting? So measure, and measure. Look at what you're getting. Look at how it's affecting your bottom line, and then adjust it as needed at first.
On a go-forward basis.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Joe and Andy, I'm going to start with you, Andy, and then I'm going to come back to you, Joe. And then, Alice, I want to get to you into the anti-steering provisions. I want to talk more specifically about that. But, Andy, when it comes to testing this and building these financial models, a lot of people go, Andy, I don't even know how to use Excel. I don't use Excel. Or I have a limited knowledge of that. You have spreadsheets developed. I don't want to make it sound like an infomercial for all the spreadsheets you built, but the reality is they exist, and you could just plug their numbers in and help them sort through this rather quickly. Is it oversimplifying it?
No. I mean, it's almost that simple. There's four or five new basis people can get paid on, loan volume being the one that I prefer at this point. And I think the what people have been talking about on LinkedIn is the extending time over which loan officers are paid and measuring them over longer periods of time. I mean, I've been an advocate of performance-based compensation since I was with a portfolio lender in, 1980. So I think this is great stuff to have new ways and broader ways of paying people besides just the rate, but it's paying based on the performance and the volume. But no, Dave, the ways to pay them, there's five or eight, whatever there is, and the model to create this isn't really all that complicated. We could do it pretty quickly.
Well, you and Joe both being CPAs, I mean, you can go through it. A lot of people look at that and go, it's a lot more difficult. It's not, folks. Keep it simple. It goes back to one of the points we're going to say is keep it simple. As you go do your analysis, keep it simple. Keep it simple as you start doing the back testing, and we can help you with that. We'll be right back after this brief word.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken, your host of Licken on Lending, and it's an honor and privilege for you to listen in on this program and for us to bring you relevant content. Again, there's nothing more relevant, it seems like, or hotter in the market than talking about loan originator compensation. Joe, I want to go to you for a minute. When we look at this, there could be some really good news for loan officers in this. They're going to be able to continue to make good money, so the fear that they're out of business is gone away. The second fear is that, this is going to make some convoluted process. We're encouraging everyone to keep it simple and do it based on some historical perspectives. But, Joe, do you see the potential that this actually can be good for loan officers, that this will actually even out their income streams rather than have peaks and valleys?
Well, certainly it could even it out in that not every loan results in an overage or a shortage in the current environment, and going forward they will. But, think about how this sort of aligns you, even aligns the LO in a better relationship with their customers. You know, it's now, you know, advocating for your customer to receive the best rate that they can, and describing to them exactly what they get if they take a higher rate, and you know where that money's going, and how much benefit extra discount will provide them. So I see it as obviously it's one of the fundamentals in the rule is to create a better relationship between the customer and the LO and working together.
It's a great point. And I want to just encourage our listeners that are out there, get a good attitude about this. I mean, it's coming to you, whether you have a good attitude or a bad attitude. It's coming, folks. April 1st, we will have it in place. In fact, Alice, we're hearing a lot of people are now, and you'll see this, if you're on the blog, get in there, read these blogs. We've got some leaders and some those that are speaking, Alice being one of them, speaking to the direction a lot of companies are going. We're already seeing that a lot of them are saying, in this one post I'm looking at here by Glenn Corso, said a lot of folks already have a plan well developed. They are not talking about it because they do not know the effects of the Dodd-Frank implications, how that had the overlays of that. Now, while that is not really in the mix at the moment, that is out there, and that is something that's going to play into it. Now, let's get into the anti-steering component of, you said there's two parts of this. Get into the anti-steering. I want to make sure we clearly understand the boundaries of what you're speaking of there.
Well, I guess just to keep it simple for the compensation side of the discussion is that the employer, creditor, originator may not steer the consumer to a particular loan offered by the employer to increase compensation. And so I guess for starters what this starts to mean is you then can't compensate, when you start looking at terms, you can't compensate someone differently for FHA versus conventional financing. Originators at brokers, not the employees of creditors, are subject to this more tight anti-steering provision. And so to be in compliance with this, the brokers are going to have to be careful that they are in compliance with this safe harbor, so that they are offering consumers, what can be a reasonable credit, terms of credit at the time of the loan application. But the main point for this discussion is just simply that we can't vary the terms or vary the compensation based on FHA. So I had one company say, well, what if I just give all my FHA loans to one loan originator? Can I compensate that person differently? And the answer is no, you can't. You cannot pay them differently because they do all the FHAs and refer all the FHAs to that one person. That would be trying to circumvent the regulation.
Well, you're going exactly where we want to go with the 7 minutes remaining. I can't believe how fast this broadcast goes when we get into some hot topics like this. But I want to talk about the plans that are out there. So number one is we've heard it said, several people have said, well, if I just have an FHA group, we're going to refer all FHAs into that. That's a form of steering, folks. You're steering that customer into a group that's going to do that. That won't work. That will not work. You just heard it from the authority, Alice L.
Well, I'm going to always preface, check with your attorneys, you know. But
Yes. We need to put a lot of disclaimers on this program because we're talking about stuff that's out there, that's certain unknown. So the number one thing is that's something that people thought about, and it's been nixed. As any reasonable person is going to say, that's a problem. But it does not say that you can't find and recommend a good program and recommend programs. One guy says, man, I've gotten to a point, I'm afraid, going back to the fear, I'm afraid to even recommend a program. Well, if your compensation isn't hinged on you making that recommendation, you're not going to make more money, there's nothing wrong with suggesting programs, folks. You've got to do that. Am I correct, Alice?
Yes, yeah. It actually, hopefully makes things a little more smooth. It's just for the company, it's a challenge in trying to decide that basis point structure that you're going to pay a loan originator if they have a mix of FHA and VA. Obviously you're going to have to come up with the right formula then for all their loan production, regardless of product type.
One of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the program is clarifying that this has to do with the Federal Reserve ruling, Reg Z. It's the final rule. It's a ruling, not a new law. But, Alice, we do have a new law out there in the works, or has passed. There's a lot of confusion, what do they mean by this piece of the law? And we're talking about Dodd-Frank. How do you see Is this a psychological effect that's entering into this discussion more than really having a substantive impact on it?
Yeah, I think so. And just terminology, you know, we get a little fussy about terminology, I think, sometimes, you know, as trainers and consultants and, you know, when your show's being recorded. So we, you know,
and
but, you know,
download
so
and listen to over and over and over again. That's good, yeah.
So that's why we like to preface that we're working on the rule right now, not the actual act, because there'll be some interpretive things that come from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau at that time.
Yeah, I think it's important to bring out, though, that there. I bring that up again only to point out, listeners, that this is getting the whole Dodd-Frank issue is getting mixed into the discussion. If you're a business owner listening to this broadcast, whether live or downloaded, I know a lot of you will be downloading and sharing this. Keep in mind, keep everybody focused. Are you speaking to, ask this question with you in the midst of the discussion, we are staying on focus on the Federal Reserve ruling, Reg Z, and not the Dodd-Frank, am I correct? Ask that question, because you know what? It's so easy to go bleed over into that segment. I cannot believe we only have 4 minutes left in this discussion. I want to get to Joe. Joe, one of the things I enjoy about you is you're just so even temperament about what your nature is. You always got that great perspective on things. Joe, I keep coming up to this. More I hear and study this, this could actually be good and have an overall excellent outcome for both loan originators, mortgage companies, and the consumers to whom we're serving. Am I correct?
Well, I think so, Dave, and I think that we're going to see some people that are going to implement plans that are very complicated, and I think that that's going to be hard to do. We're going to see plans that are implemented that are basically the, you know, simple as they are now without some of the split of overage and shortage. So, in my view of thinking, start out simple, you know.
Start it out simple.
You know, create as little anxiety in the form of what's it going to be and how's it going to affect me by keeping it simple. Over
and
time,
if originators were averaging a point per loan, then make sure they're still going to average that, and you know, to start with, right?
Yeah. Which
but,
goes back
but
to the
measure
factor.
To make sure that you're not overpaying,
right,
based on new environment.
Which goes to the profit doctor's segment and his contributions, folks. Build a model, Andy. It's not that difficult. Just tell us again, tell the listeners, it's not that difficult.
Well, it's not that difficult. It's like learning to drive. I was teaching my daughter to drive. It seems easy to me, and it was hard for her until she learned how, then it was easy. So if you're not an Excel person, you don't want this to be wrong. So, I mean, it is easy for us because we build very, very complex models. So if you need help, it won't take that much time. We'll be happy to help. I did hear one thing that disturbed me a little bit that I wanted to just throw out real quick, Dave, if I could. Heard from one person who said they were going to continue to calculate. They used to get paid, apply the new rule, and then whatever the difference was, they were going to cover and call it a business expense.
Yeah,
wrong. You can't do that on a bunch of different levels. And first off, any business expense has to be the direct reimbursement of actual business expenses. So you can't just make this number up. There's all kinds of IRS implications that come into that if you start reimbursing expenses that aren't really legitimate expenses. So don't go there. Do it new from the start going forward. Forget about the old plans. They're gone. Use the new plan and move forward would be what I would suggest.
And with a good attitude, realizing this does not mean less revenue to you as a loan originator, not less profit to you, the business owner. Folks, it is so important that you just listen to this, go back, download this program. Here's the walkaways. Keep it simple, folks. Go back and test it. Keep an overall attitude, realizing it's just possible. This may have a very good outcome in the end. Next week, we've got a group. I am so excited about this. It was the Future Mortgage Leaders that spoke in Atlanta about the upcoming, what the whole implications are of all of this and much more related to the independent future of independent mortgage bankers. You're going to not want to miss this. We've asked a large group, those that gave that presentation there, to come on the program next week, and I'm excited to hear that. Have a great week, folks. Again, remember to download this program, pass it around to your friends. Go also to www.lickinonlending.com to be able to register for future broadcasts. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.